Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Samson Option by Seymour M. Hirsch investigates one of the most sensitive subjects in modern geopolitics, Israel's pursuit of a nuclear capability, and how that pursuit intersected with American foreign policy. Written by an investigative journalist known for deep sourcing and controversial revelations, the book traces the political, intelligence, and diplomatic pathways that helped shape a regional balance of power built as much on ambiguity as on hardware. Hirsch presents a narrative that connects post-World War II insecurity, Cold War maneuvering, and Middle East wars to the emergence of an undeclared nuclear posture often described as deliberate opacity. Alongside the technical and strategic questions, the book focuses on people and institutions' leaders weighing existential fears, agencies competing for influence, and allies negotiating what can be acknowledged publicly versus what is managed privately. The result is a case study in how national survival logic, alliance politics, and secrecy can redefine policy choices for decades and complicate any clean separation between domestic politics and international strategy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, origins of a nuclear program and the logic of survival. A central topic is how Israel's early security environment shaped the drive for a strategic deterrent. The book situates nuclear ambitions in the context of repeated regional wars, perceived isolation, and the memory of catastrophe that made policymakers prioritize worst-case thinking. Rather than treating nuclear weapons as an abstract escalation, the narrative frames them as an answer to a specific question: how a small state could ensure it would never face annihilation. Hirsch explores the institutional momentum that can develop when leaders decide a capability is essential, including the creation of specialized agencies, procurement channels, and foreign partnerships. The reader sees how deterrence doctrine can grow out of vulnerability, and how that doctrine influences conventional strategy as well as diplomacy. The idea implied by the title, a last resort posture that an enemy must fear, even if never confirmed, becomes a lens for understanding why ambiguity may be favored over declaration. This topic also highlights the moral and political trade-offs of building such a capability, including the tension between secrecy and democratic oversight, and the way existential narratives can narrow the range of acceptable policy debate. Secondly, secrecy, intelligence, and the machinery of denial. Another major theme is the role of secrecy in sustaining a long-term nuclear posture. The book emphasizes that nuclear capability is not only about reactors and warheads, but also about information control classification, compartmentalization, and coordinated messaging across government. Hirsch details how intelligence services, military planners, and political leaders can converge on a shared objective to protect a program from external pressure and internal disclosure. This includes managing what allies can verify, what inspectors might see, and what journalists can prove. The topic also addresses the cat-and-mouse dynamic between intelligence collection and counterintelligence, where surveillance, leaks, and deception shape what decision-makers in other capitals believe to be true. The persistence of strategic ambiguity depends on credibility without confirmation, which requires carefully maintained signals and red lines. Hirsch portrays the human side of secrecy as well: individuals asked to remain silent, bureaucracies that reward loyalty, and the costs to whistleblowers or dissenters. For readers, this topic clarifies how national security states build durable narratives and why nuclear proliferation debates often hinge less on physics than on documentation, access, and political will. Thirdly, American foreign policy, between non-proliferation and alliance management. The book examines how the United States navigated a conflict between two priorities: global non-proliferation goals and the strategic value of a close regional ally. Hirsch presents American policy as a mixture of principled positions, geopolitical calculation, and domestic political realities. On one side, Washington had incentives to prevent new nuclear states, preserve treaty frameworks, and avoid triggering regional arms races. On the other, American leaders also weighed Israel's security, the Cold War context, intelligence cooperation, and the political costs of confrontation. This topic explains how policy can move from open concern to quiet accommodation, especially when officials conclude that pressure could weaken an ally or produce outcomes they cannot control. It also explores the tools available to a superpower, such as inspections, aid conditions, and diplomatic warnings, and how those tools may be limited by incomplete intelligence or by the fear of public rupture. The result is a portrait of foreign policy as negotiation under constraint, where leaders sometimes accept managed ambiguity as the least bad option. Readers gain insight into how non-proliferation can become selective in practice, and how that selectivity affects credibility worldwide. Fourthly, regional deterrence, crisis dynamics, and the risk of escalation. Hirsch links an undeclared nuclear capability to the broader pattern of Middle East crises, showing how deterrence interacts with conventional conflict. the book argues that nuclear ambiguity can shape adversary calculations, even when weapons are never openly discussed, influencing war planning, diplomatic bargaining, and the perceived limits of escalation. This topic considers how leaders under extreme pressure might signal capability indirectly, and how such signaling could deter aggression or, alternatively, intensify fear and misinterpretation. It also explores the danger that secrecy creates during crises. If opponents guess wrong about readiness, command control, or thresholds, the risk of miscalculation rises. The discussion highlights how regional rivals might respond by seeking their own strategic capabilities, or by pursuing asymmetric strategies that bypass traditional deterrence logic. Readers also see how alliances are tested in moments of emergency, as partners decide how far support extends and what actions could draw them into a larger confrontation. By focusing on crisis dynamics rather than static arsenals, this topic underscores that proliferation is not only a long-term structural issue, but also a short-term decision-making challenge, where incomplete information and time pressure can produce irreversible outcomes. Lastly, ethics, democracy, and the long shadow of nuclear ambiguity beyond strategy. The book raises questions about democratic accountability and ethical responsibility when governments pursue the most destructive weapons under conditions of secrecy. This topic explores how leaders justify extraordinary measures by citing national survival, and how that justification can reduce transparency, limit legislative oversight, and narrow public debate. Hirsch prompts readers to consider who gets to decide what existential risk means and what safeguards exist against error, factionalism, or overconfidence. The long-term consequences of ambiguity also come into view. It can stabilize deterrence while simultaneously eroding international norms, complicating arms control efforts, and feeding perceptions of double standards. The topic encourages reflection on whether an unacknowledged arsenal is more or less dangerous than an openly declared one. Given the competing effects on deterrence credibility, diplomacy, and crisis communication, it also highlights the moral dilemmas faced by allies who may privately accept a capability they publicly oppose, creating a gap between stated values and real policy. For readers interested in the intersection of power and principle, this topic frames the book as more than investigative history, positioning it as a study of how modern states manage fear, legitimacy, and the politics of secrecy. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers interested in Middle East security, nuclear proliferation, intelligence history, and the realities of alliance politics. Students of international relations and public policy will also find it useful as a concrete case of how grand principles like non-proliferation collide with strategic priorities and domestic pressures. The benefit for the reader is a clearer understanding of how deterrence is built not only through weapons but through narratives, secrecy practices, and diplomatic bargaining. It helps sharpen critical thinking about official statements, the limits of oversight, and how crisis decisions are shaped by incomplete information, compared with many general surveys of nuclear history. Hirsch's work stands out for its investigative approach and its focus on the American-Israeli policy intersection rather than purely technical development. It offers a layered view of how institutions behave when the stakes are existential and the incentives to conceal are strong. For buyers choosing among similar books, the value lies in the combination of geopolitical analysis and reporting-driven storytelling that connects strategic doctrine to real decision-makers, making the implications feel immediate rather than abstract. If you would like to support Seymour M. Hirsch, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.